Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quick update. Carolina Hurricanes have sent out a tweet. Andrei Svechnikov is done for the season. That is a big loss for him, or for them. He is a big-time scorer, but Svechnikov will undergo knee surgery on Thursday. He'll miss the remainder of the season in the playoffs. I mean, this guy is, at minimum, no worse than a 30-plus goal scorer when healthy for a season. So it's a significant loss for the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm just going to get the quick update here. If I take a look at what they've done this year, Svechnikov this season has 23 goals and 55 points in 64 games. Here's where I tell you that last year he scored 30 and 39 assists, 69 points in 78. I mean, he's a big-time talent, significant loss. It is 1:37 at Edmonton. The best pizza in the city, still making a great Royal Pizza Pizza, past and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50-plus years. They've got 15 Edmonton-area locations, 4 in Calgary and 1 in Red Deer. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation to the Mediterranean chicken. Brendan likes the Texan. Royal Pizza, still making it great. Our next guest always has me on a show and with a pizza reference, but we'll tell you, he is our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show from TSN 1200 in Ottawa. He's been involved in Senators broadcast for several years and also does the Red Blacks, whatever they call a soccer team. And he is an Edmonton product. We welcome back AJ Jakubik. Hi, AJ. How you doing?
Outstanding, Bob. You're making me miss home with this Talker Royal Pizza.
There we go. Nicely done. All right. What's the name of the soccer team? I don't want to upset. Is it FC Ottawa? Is that the name of the team?
No, it's Atletico Ottawa. They are owned by Atletico Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in the world. And they lost in the league final last year to Forge out of Hamilton.
Is that Diego Simeone? Is he the manager of that team?
Simeone, yeah.
It's pronounced Simeone. Okay. Now, is he Argentinian?
He's the guy that Beckham kicked in the 98 World Cup to get his red card.
Probably deserved it.
I don't disagree, but classic Argentina, right?
Yes.
They do what they can to win.
I can tell you right now, I know exactly where I was when I saw that. Coach's Corner, for folks that have been up to Prince George, Coach's Corner at the Prince George Inn. We watched that, and I couldn't believe it that Beckham did that. That is crazy. There you go. It's crazy the way a show will go during the course. All right. Hey, we're going to put you on the spot here, and because Bruce Garriott has just penned a piece. Is Sal Tullio the leader at the clubhouse here for the potential ownership of the Ottawa Senators? As you know, he owns the Oshawa Generals, and his son, Ty Tullio, is a prospect. It's actually had a pretty good season this year for the Bakersfield Condors. His name is out there in the mix, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because Bruce has done great work on this. Bortico's done great work on this. And I mean, you always talk to somebody, right? You're around town enough, you talk to somebody that might be in the know and that gives you a little bit of insight. And there are a lot of local people getting involved. Jason York's brother, Jeff York, who owns Farm Boy, a big grocer out here, which is fantastic, by the way. They've got together a group of 20 people trying to be minority owners, right? So there's a lot of people that, you know, have some sort of skin in the game when it comes to this. And I don't know if there is a clubhouse leader right now. A lot of people seem to think it was Michael Andlauer, because of his connection with the Montreal Canadiens, where he's alternate governor, right? I mean, it is a club, and in the end, Gary Bettman is going to decide what is best for the National Hockey League, what's best for their club. They don't want somebody in their club that isn't going to fit in that boardroom. So money's going to play a factor. I think this is going to be, when all is said and done, close to $1 billion U.S. for this franchise, which is kind of mind-blowing. But obviously money's going to be a factor. I do think we're probably going to be seeing a situation where you might have certain factions of certain groups team up to try and strengthen their bid. But to me, the wild card is Ryan Reynolds. And the fact that he committed to a single group, the Remington group out of Markham, was a bit of a surprise, because I think a lot of people expected that he would just sit on the sidelines and at the end, all right, here's the winning bid. Now get involved with Ryan Reynolds, because that's the no-brainer that you want him involved owning a team. So we'll wait and see. I mean, you know, the timeline seems to keep getting pushed back. No surprise. I mean, these things take a lot of time, a lot of due diligence. But I think if you ask the fans here, they want some sort of local piece, and they definitely want Ryan Reynolds involved. So the NHL wants him involved as well. And when you watch that Welcome to Wrexham series, I don't know if you've seen it. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Just, you know, you're talking about a fifth-tier club in Wales that plays in England that, you know, they're almost at 400,000 followers on Twitter. Super Paul Mullen, their striker, has more than double the followers that Brady Tkachuk has. So you bring a series like that here, some sort of Welcome to Ottawa with Ryan Reynolds involved, and it boosts, you know, the brand and the interest in this hockey team and this city tremendously just by his involvement.
All right. So that's it, because I had heard at one time that Michael Andlauer, who owns the Hamilton Bulldogs and Sal Tulio, were going to potentially partner together. But that ultimately has not come to fruition, has it?
Not yet, right? Again, it's hard to know what's going on behind closed doors. But, you know, one owner of the Oshawa Generals, one owner of, you know, the soon-to-be Brantford Bulldogs, because they're moving there for 3 years while they do renovations at the old Cops Coliseum, now First Ontario Centre. And so you would think that, you know, at least there's a working relationship with two competing owners in that league. But as of right now, I haven't heard anything about them teaming up officially.
From TSN 1200 in Ottawa, Edmonton product, A.J. Jakubek. A.J., let's get to the specifics on this Senators team. They are a little bit confounding to me, because they've got some guys that are having terrific offensive seasons. How is this team 27th in the league in 5-on-5 goals for? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, certainly it didn't help when they lost Josh Norris to start the season, because he was, I'm not sure he would be right now with how good Tim Stützle has been, but he was the number one center to start the season. And went down with a season-ending shoulder surgery, only played the 8 games and had the 3 points. I mean, that's a guy that scored 35 goals last year. So it's a big loss, and I think, you know, it's really felt. I mean, the top 6 hasn't felt it, but it's really been felt on that third line, because Shane Pinto, that's where he should be slotting in ultimately, yep. And he missed virtually the entire season last year with a shoulder injury as well. It's something, I don't know if it's something in the water, U.S. National Development Team program, but Colin White, Josh Norris, Shane Pinto, and this year Tyler Boucher, who's done for the season as well, all with shoulder injuries and major shoulder injuries coming out of that program, coming to the Ottawa Senators. But nonetheless, that's been a big loss. Their bottom 6 clearly isn't good enough. And I think at times this year, their power play was able to carry them. But lately, the power play has been dreadful as well. Since the All-Star break, they've scored 7 times, and they've given up 7. So that's probably the main point of consternation right now, is what's wrong with the power play, because when the power play isn't going, this team, given their 5-on-5 struggles, just hasn't had a chance.
Oilers got 2 shorthanded goals, one on a beauty from Connor McDavid to Ryan McLeod, and then the other, just the timing of it, because it went from 4-on-4 to an Ottawa power play, Derek Ryan scoring there as well. Your thoughts on the Chychrun deal? And I know, in my world, I kind of factored in the Zaitsev trade as well, in terms of the assets moving out, a 2nd and a 4th to get Zaitsev off the books, because Ottawa is a real cap team, a hard cap team. But how's the Chychrun trade played out in the Ottawa market?
Yeah, I think very popular here in Ottawa, and he's got Ottawa ties. You know, it was just some of the scenes when he made his home debut against Columbus with his sister, who, you know, he grew up in Florida, basically John Chychrun, his grandfather, moved here. Great story, by the way. Moved here from the prairies, from Saskatchewan, went to the University of Ottawa, never played a down of football in his life, and next thing you know, he's chasing around Russ Jackson playing OUA football for the Ottawa Gigis. So some pretty good genes in that family. Jeff Chychrun grew up here in the Nepean Sports Hall of Fame and won a Stanley Cup for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but, you know, grew up in Florida, but still very strong roots here. And so the fact that his sister moved back here from Florida, and, you know, the grandfather was at the game. You can't write stories like that when it comes to just the local ties that he's got here and his love for his grandfather, his family, and this community as well. So it's always great in the Canadian market when you've got somebody that legitimately wants to be there long-term, and certainly that looks to be the case with Jacob Chychrun. He's just happy to play somewhere where the team's pretty competitive. So I think, you know, from the fan standpoint, they're fully behind it. It's tough. When you're chasing a top four defenseman, they just don't come available very often. Now it feels like Ottawa has those top four defensemen. Jake Sanderson, to me, is the best of the bunch. And, you know, speaking of local ties, I get he played for Team USA, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, we're talking about roots in St. Albert. I played hockey with his uncle Jerry, and, of course, you got Jeff, who had the longtime career in the National Hockey League. Jake Sanderson is, if he's not already, he's going to be the best defenseman on the Ottawa Senators, already playing over 20 minutes a night, and he's been fantastic, just doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and very smooth in what he does. So with Sanderson, Chychrun, Zub, and Chabot, they should have their top four for a long time. The problem is Thomas Chabot is having, and he might not play tonight, but he's having a real disappointing season. He's just not up to standards. He's making a lot of mental mistakes and a lot of bad decisions that you just normally wouldn't see out of a guy like that. He should be a top-pairing defenseman. So if everyone plays to their potential, I think they should have a really good defense for a lot of years to come. But, you know, kind of the big question over the last week or so in Ottawa is, what is wrong with Thomas Chabot, and how do you fix that?
All right. We'll get to very quickly on DeBrincat. Do they get this guy re-signed, or are they going to have to flip him?
A great question. I would think Pierre Dorion, given that he parted with the number 7 overall pick, didn't part with that pick just to have him here for a year or 2 years. He'd have to be qualified at $9 billion. He's had an okay season, certainly not scoring as much as he had in Chicago, scored 21 goals here in 66 games. Now, you know, you look at shooting percentage and you would think that the regression to the mean would mean this is going to be a guy that's going to score 30, 35, even 40 goals going forward, given his numbers. But, you know, he is not the first or second or probably even the third or fourth best forward on this team right now. Claude Giroux's been sensational. Tim Stützle is a budding superstar. You got Brady Tkachuk, who's the leader and the captain. And you have some other pretty good guys here as well. So how much do you pay a guy like that? Is he going to make more than Tim Stützle at $8.5 million? And I think if you ask the fans, they would say he shouldn't. But, you know, he's got options, right? He's a year away from unrestricted free agency. I think he likes it here, but we're going to find a lot in the summer. And I think that's one of the big questions on a lot of people's minds, just the long-term situation involving Alex DeBrincat.
Final question, AJ, and it's got to be relatively, we're running out of time because I talk too much.
Yeah.
Matt Sogard and Mandalays, can you really evaluate Pierre Dorion this year, given the injuries to Talbot and Forsberg? And you know, they got 14 games worth of NHL experience going in between the pipes as they've had this dip here in the West. Is it a fair deal, or is it tied to ownership in terms of what happens to Pierre long term?
I think it's tied to ownership long-term. To be fair, on Mandalay and Sogard, they played pretty well, and they're 6-4-1 in those games that those two have played. So I don't think goaltending has been the issue. The issue is the start, and it goes back to, you know, the long-term future and the questions surrounding DJ Smith. 2 years ago, they started 2-12-1. Last year, they started 4-15-1. They needed a good start this year, and they started 6-12-1, and it's really difficult with the 3-point games to get your team back in contention. They've managed to do that, but with the schedule down the stretch, it's going to be awfully tough to make the playoffs. So we'll see if they can finish strong, but the starts have been terrible 3 years in a row here, and that's really cooked their chances.
AJ, great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
There you go. From TSN 1200 in Ottawa, AJ Jakubik. When we come back, we'll get to the Oilers prospect report for Reface Magic and the Stay in Oilers history for New West Travel. Darnell Nurse, plus 20 in 20 career games against the Ottawa Senators. It's 153 in Edmonton. And at this time, we're going to go into the Oilers Now prospect report for Reface Magic. Save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace, reface. Here's Brendan Escott.
Haven't talked about Skylar Brendamore yet. The Oilers sixth-round pick in 2017. He's finishing up his NCAA career at Quinnipiac, where he's totaled 31 points in 36 games this year as a senior, had 3 assists in his team's most recent game. That was a 6-3 win over Yale. He is a 6'2" centerman, the son, of course, of Rod, but needs to be signed by Edmonton, I believe, before the end of this season. However that works, Bob, he needs to be shored up or he will lose his rights. Brendamore won an RBC Cup with the Chilliwack Chiefs in 2017-18. He's actually put up 75 points across 140 collegiate games. But maybe, like, can you shed any light on what the deadline is for them to sign that?
Yeah, usually I'll get the exact date for you. It's for some reason I thought it was at the end of April. I thought they had till the end of April. I'm just thinking back to Justin Schultz. The difference with Justin Schultz is he came out of school a year early. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Travel to California this April to see the Oilers play the Kings and the Ducks. You can reach out to newwesttravel.com for more information. We're going to go back on the state, see if I can do the math on the fly. 37 years ago to 1986, when yours truly was almost 20. Wow. Oh, my God. All right, here's Brendan Escott.
Paul Coffey scored 2 goals and added 6 assists for an 8-point night. It tied Tom Bladen's NHL record for most points in a game by a defenseman. Those 8 points helped the Oilers to a 12-3 win over the Red Wings at Northlands.
Yeah, Tom Bladen, former member of the Edmonton Oil Kings, put up 8 points with the Philadelphia Flyers. All right, here's what we got shaking tonight. The Edmonton Oilers take on the Ottawa Senators live at Rogers Place. The face-off show begins with Reed Wilkins, myself, Cam Moon, Rob Brown, Jack Michaels at 5:35 today. Puck drop at 7 o'clock tomorrow. A trio of guests, as previously mentioned, Ian Herber's the head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears at the University Cup. Well, obviously, we'll have a complete recap of tonight's game. David Staple from the Cult of Hockey and for Aquarian Renovations, Mark Sportsnet's Mark Spector. Up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then Chelsea on Ched with Chelsea Bird from 3 until 5:30. Back at you at 5:35, live from Studio 99.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.